Yeah, I was listening to another audio book when the lady was talking about she went to a church and they wouldn't even let her come in with the kids.
Really?
So she never went back. But we love the kids. All right. Reminder to the onliners, get your prayer requests into bbfohio@protonmail.com. This is First Wednesday. Every first Wednesday at BBF, we do not have music. Cool. And we have food and fellowship.
Woohoo!
And so tonight's Bible study brought to you by Donato's Pizza and Jenny's Sweet and Sour Meatballs.
Woohoo, yeah!
And Martha's Banana Cream Pie.
And Johnny's Pop,
who isn't here tonight. Oh, you're talking about Soda Pop. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
What state do you live in? This is Ohio.
That's what that reminder's for, Jessica. Isn't that neat?
Thank you.
Isn't that neat?
I like that music.
Yes. And Johnny's already taken care of that, and Jenny's already taken care of that. So we're ready for our current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one. We continue tracking the anti-Israel words and policies of the Satanic Democrat Party. Most of the Republicans do not attack Israel, but a lot of the libertarians do, and some of the independents, like Bernie Sanders, who's a Judas Iscariot, because he's a Jew, and he turns on Israel, and then others in the Green Party. And, of course, the Socialist Party. They're all against Israel. Kamala Harris is getting raked over the coals even by some of the liberals because there are liberals who support Israel.
Good.
They're the exception. But they had a student speaking who referred to Israel's state, the nation of Israel, being guilty of genocide. And Kamala said to the lady, speak your truth. So instead of correcting her. When you don't believe in God's word, oh, you know what? I'm sitting here yapping and didn't put the microphone on. We'll have to fix that. But when you don't believe in God's word, you reject absolute truth. And so then it becomes a matter of your truth and my truth, like Pontius Pilate. Remember that?
Yeah.
You hear people always saying, well, that's your truth. No, there is such a thing as truth, and there are times where people are wrong. Mm-hmm. Pontius Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Looking at Jesus.
Who is the truth?
Who is the truth? Think about that. I mean... Wow. Pilate, something else. I just want to mention that there's no evidence he was ever saved. The Eusebius claimed that the word in that day was that he had been called to Tiberius Caesar, been recalled, or whatever you can call it. He had to go back to Rome because he had slaughtered a bunch of innocent Samaritans, unarmed innocent Samaritans, kind of like Janet Reno did in Waco. But instead, Janet Reno was applauded by the Bill Clinton administration for killing a bunch of people. Tiberius Caesar called Pontius Pilate back to Rome for it. And then the story is he committed suicide. You imagine being in hell and thinking about the fact that he looked the truth in the eyes and said, what is truth? Amazing. So Kamala has the same spirit as those who killed the Messiah in 30 AD and destroyed Israel in 70 AD. That goes for everybody who hates Jews and stands against the nation of Israel. Amen. They have the very same spirit of those who killed the Messiah and destroyed Israel in 70 AD. By the way, that includes a good number of Jews. There are Jews who not only still hate Jesus Christ, but they hate the nation of Israel. There's a whole segment of the Jews who the ultra, there's an ultra-Orthodox group for one thing, but then there's far-left liberal Jews who are all opposed to the state of Israel. So this was the headline the day after, which was today. Harris office does damage control over students, Israel ethnic genocide comment. And of course, they're reaching out to people. And I haven't seen what the apology is, but I imagine it's probably, I'm sorry you were offended. That's not an apology. You know, if I look at Charlie and say, you're stupid, and then he gets upset with me, I go back later and say, Charlie, I'm sorry that you were offended by the fact I called you stupid. Is that an apology?
Nope.
And also would be stupid because he's not stupid. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She should change her name to Kamala Hamas. That's what she should change her name to. And number two, speaking of things that are full of crap, archaeologists uncover a rare 2,700-year-old toilet in Jerusalem. Now, that wouldn't seem to be a big deal, discovering a toilet, but when it's 2,700 years old, toilets were a very rare thing in that day. Only the very rich and wealthy had them. And it also counters a lot of the nonsense. I should say it counters a lot of the crap that you hear today about Jerusalem. Just keep it real. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about crap. You're going to have to get over it.
Yeah. I'm glad we won't have to do any of that more than that.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I wasn't good.
No, that's good. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Sure.
Yeah. Archaeologists in Israel have discovered a rare ancient toilet in Jerusalem that could date back more than 2,700 years. The Israeli Antiquities Authority said the toilet was considered a luxury in the Holy City at that time, which dated from the end of the 7th century BCE. Now, I bet that one was behind closed doors, but you know, back in that time in Rome, after that time, but when Rome came around, they just had them right out in the side of the road and people just out in the open.
Yep.
And
California.
So I still would have been going out in the woods using one of those. Have you seen those? They've got actually, I think they've discovered some that they actually, you can see what they look like here.
Well, the Romans had, I don't know if it was everywhere, but they had toilets in the city where it was like stadium seating. So it's like you sit on a toilet next to your buddy. There was no privacy. Like everybody just was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd still be going out in the woods.
Very...
Hey, Jim, you done with your paper? See you in a few minutes. And number three, COVID vax headlines. We're just going to look at some headlines. I just want to see this. A new study reveals that antibodies from fighting COVID-19 infection can last more than a year.
No.
They don't know how long. They don't say how much longer than a year. But that, and I couldn't, I didn't think of it until later. I should have thought of it at the time, but there are also studies that show that if you have those antibodies and you get the shot, it's bad for you. Of course, we know the shot is bad for you in many cases, if not most already. But also, a study concludes that women's fertility is harmed in vaccinated countries. So countries where there's a large number of women being vaccinated, there's a massive increase in sterility. Of course, we have Bill Gates on video saying that he was going to decrease the population in Africa through vaccines. And then you come back later, oh, we just meant that it means people, you know, whatever. This is a BioNTech CEO who says, surprise, we're going to have a new vaccine by 2022. So next year, let the games begin. It starts all over again. It's all about the money. That's exalt. And of course, power plays into it, but power is about money. And you want to know why the government is making any decision. And there's been a few times where I'm like, I don't understand how that is related to money. And then, lo and behold, sometime later, you find out. A lot of times, you'll have something passed that doesn't have anything directly to do with money, but as you find out that the reason that the politicians passed it was because the people who owned them wanted it passed for some other reason, and so money was still behind it because that politician wanted the money coming to him. And then Senator Ron Johnson drops a truth bomb on the true number of fully vaccinated people dying with COVID. And you won't hear this on your evening news tonight.
Let's look at some data. The type of data that we're not getting from our healthcare agencies. So we have to look, unfortunately, to England and to Israel that are more transparent. Now, I don't expect anybody to be able to read the figures here. I'll give you the highlights, but I'm showing that this is from Public Health England. This is one of their federal healthcare agencies. This is from their technical briefing number 23, dated September 17, 2021. It covers cases for about 7.5 months, from the beginning of February to February 12th. What the data shows is that during that 7.5 month period in England, there were about 750,000 new COVID cases. About a little under 600,000 of those were the Delta variant, about 80%. The number of deaths associated with those 600,000 Delta cases was 2,542, which gives us a case fatality ratio of about 0.4. Again, case fatality is higher than infection fatality because these are actually registered cases and there are all kinds of infections that never get registered. So to put this in context, an infection fatality rate for a bad flu season is slightly under 0.2, half of this. Just going to put things in perspective. Now, President Biden, and this has been parroted by media, news media, said that what we are currently experiencing is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. They don't give us really any data to back that up.
Because they're liars.
They just to proclaim, pronounce that 99% of people with COVID now are unvaccinated, but they don't give us the data. But we have data from England, and here's the data. So of the 600,000 cases in England, 43% were with the unvaxxed, 27% were with the fully vaxxed, another 30% were with partially vaxxed, or just undetermined. But I think what's interesting, because here's another quote from President Biden. President Biden said, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to an ICU unit. You're not going to die. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Liar.
Well,
liar.
Maybe that's true in the US. I kind of doubt it, because in England, of the 600,000 new cases of Delta, of the over 2,500 deaths, 63% of those deaths, 1,613 people were the fully vaccinated. 28% were with the unvaxxed. Now, this is information the American people have probably never heard. It's information, by conveying it, I will get attacked, I will be vilified, I will be censored, I will be suppressed.
And he is being.
It's one of the reasons I've come to the floor of the Senate to reveal this information that the American people need to know.
That's the facts.
Not true.
And there's going to be more and more out there if you will look for it. But if you are still foolish enough to get your news from mainstream news media sources, you will not hear this. And those nice people that you see on front of the camera, they're not doing anything but reading a script. And the people who control what's on that teleprompter they're reading are a part of the globalist system. For more info about, let's say you're worried about your employer or anything like that with mandatory vaccines, you can go to adflegal.org. And they have a link there to a page where they provide all kinds of information. And, of course, we'd help you as much as we can as well. I am not an attorney. I'm just smarter than most of them. If you are not taking vaccine mandates seriously, you are not taking the Bible seriously. The stage is being set. And that's the bottom line to all this information you've been getting for several years, 2 years about COVID, and for going on, 15 years. We're just into our 15th year. I need to write that down since we started BBF. It was 15 years at this June.
We're going on 16 years married, so we started 6 months after we got married.
Anyway, more than 15 years. We've been trying to help everybody to understand the times we're living in. Anybody got any questions, comments before we move on? Johnny?
Actually, we might have to wait another time before we go into this. I just thought of this when you showed the 666 up there. So does God indicate other? I mean, I know there's the verse that says, you know, the number of the beast is 666. Is it? Do you know if the Bible goes any deeper into that as to why that number is theirs?
No, just it's going to be the number that if you accept it, you are pledging your allegiance to the beast, the Antichrist, and it's an act of worship. And what the vaccine is related to that and all that we're seeing, it's setting the stage. It's setting up the infrastructure that will be used to make sure everyone gets that mark.
The six things to do with man.
Well, the number six is to do with man.
Yeah.
The number 666 is conjecture. People guess about what that might mean and everything. We just know that will be the number and that it will be his number. And by taking it, you are pledging allegiance to him as God. And it's blasphemy. And it's an unforgivable sin, by the way. No one can be saved after doing it, despite what John MacArthur and others have taught. Jessica?
Well, back to that, isn't God perfect number is 7, and 777 is God.
No, just the number 7.
Oh, I thought it was 777.
No, the Bible never uses 3 sevens referring to God.
Satan always wants to be
7
like,
is perfection. That's God.
But the 3 sevens is an occult number, but it's not everyone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll see.
7 seconds. I think there's at least one or two places where God does use that.
Well, there's references to 70 times 7 and that sort of thing, but it's not in reference to God. It's in reference to prophecy. 70 times 7, how many times you're supposed to forgive. 70 times 7 was the number of years they were in captivity, that sort of thing. But, yeah, the 3 sevens is not a biblical number for God. Just 1 7.
The jackpot is not necessarily of God.
Huh?
Remember, most of the time when you see sevens nowadays is when it's like the jackpot where you're trying to get the
symbols. Oh, yeah.
And I think usually it's the 777. Yeah.
There are people who play those numbers because they think it's like God's number and everything. And like, if it was, I don't think he'd be letting you win the lottery with it. But anyway, yes.
Well, I have a question then. Because I thought it was, and so on, different in the mind. I'll use my name in 777. Is that bad of me?
Well, number one, go home and change all those passwords now that it's on live stream. Number two, it's not bad. You're not using it for that reason. Even the number 666 isn't bad unless you're using it as the mark of the beast. I actually got a little nervous, not because it's bad, but they told me at the post office that when we got our P.O. box, your number is, she goes, 666. And I'm like, no, no, I don't want our, and it was 2.
Oh,
so, but I worked once at a place and the address was 666. I won't give you the address, but that's just a number. It's nothing, you can be superstitious about it. If your license plate has 666, they tried to give me, and I know it sounds crazy, but even though I just told you the story of the P.O. Box, there was a time, and I don't know if it was with the Odyssey. It wasn't with the Odyssey. I think it was with the Fit, and I had to get a new tag, and they were going to give me a tag that had 666 on it. I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor, and I just can't be riding around in a car that has a license tag with that on it. So they gave me the one I have.
Hey, the lawyer I had when I got divorced, his license plate was 666.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't surprise me.
It's like the number 13. There are, scripturally, there are times when the number 13 is attached to certain things. But if you play on a basketball team and they give you a jersey with number 13, it doesn't mean that you're going to break your neck on the court and, you know, or anything like that. That's the kind of thing you see on Brady Bunch.
But,
but that's a, Jessica, that's a great question. There are a lot of people who have misunderstandings about that. And it's important that people, you know, get the truth about it. You're welcome. All right, let's go ahead and open the word of prayer. And have Brother Jim, if you would.
Lord, Father, we just ask for a blessing over the service tonight. Thank you for everyone present, Lord, and anyone who's on the way here. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with the pastor, that you would speak through him, Lord, and that we would be able to receive. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
I really appreciate my amen corner this evening. I'm getting a lot of amens already. I haven't even started. That sounds like. Sounds like that to me, anyway.
What do you mean your amen corner?
The joke, don't worry about it.
You don't know what an amen corner is? I'll explain it later. Amen. James 4, just those two words explain it. It's a corner with a bunch of amens.
Oh.
It's
a, amen!
Yeah, well, that's not, you're not in the corner, so.
I'm on the back seat.
And no offense, but this is cute.
What?
Man, Winnie's my amen corner. You guys are slow, man. I mean, it's Wednesday night. I know you're probably tired. But I hope I don't have to repeat every joke I tell tonight.
She was in the middle. That was not
I'm
corner.
Not that smart.
If the Lord will, James chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles and get there. James 4, verses 13 through 17. We're going to finish out the chapter, James 4. And we're going to read all those verses. I'm going to have you read the odd with me. So go ahead and jump in at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen? So, James has been exposing what I call symptoms of hypocrisy. Having a declaration of faith without works. And we've gone through the last couple chapters and talking about all those different symptoms of hypocrisy. And we ended in our last study about someone judging somebody while they are in violation of God's law themselves. Hypocrisy. Well, now he moves on to another form of what I call failed faith, and that is arrogance. Arrogance. Look at verse 13, 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. It's not that there's anything wrong with making plans. It's that this is being stated as though it's a fact, it's going to happen. And really, that's how people are taught today. People are taught to just, one thing they'll say is to imagine. And to, some will even say, like, meditate on what you want to happen. And there's another term they use.
Visualize.
There it is. I remember the first time I was exposed to that thought process was as a Cincinnati Reds fan. I was one of those real fans, man. I'd watch the pregame and the postgame before ESPN run it. And they'd actually show them talking to the players and all that. And it would be men. Not a bunch of these pretty girls. I mean, you know, come on. Anyway, don't get me started on that. These you'd have guys who knew something about the game talking to these players. And I enjoyed that. And this guy named Dave Collins, he was a real good player, utility player, they call him. And he had a really good game, and so he was player of the game. And they were interviewing down on the field, and he says, you know, What are you doing to make your game better? You've improved. Just seems like every game you're getting better and better. And I'm a baseball player, so I'm thinking, wow, I want to hear this. And he says, well, just to be honest with you, I've really gotten into visualization. And before I go to bat, I visualize what's going to happen. And before I get in a visual, and I'm thinking, that's stupid. I'm thinking, how am I supposed to practice that? Sit in my bedroom and just go, you know? But later on, I found out that that's a big thing in sports. But it's just like yoga. It's pagan. And all you're allowed to bring all the paganism you want into high school and college sports. Now, if you were to say, we want to have prayer, your coach can get fired for that. But if your coach says, you know what you need to do is visualize, and we have a yoga class, and all that, they can do all that. But if they tell you to pray...
And bring away your relics.
Huh?
Your relic stuff.
Very superstitious, especially in baseball. It seems to be worse than other sports. Very superstitious. Some of the guys have got to get dressed a certain way. They have a coin or something in their pocket. They wear a certain thing around their neck or whatever. Yeah. Dave Concepcion would always get up and cross himself before he would do something with his feet a certain way every time. And they thought if they didn't do that, it wasn't going to, you know, they're going to have a bad game. Have you ever thought of the arrogance of taking even your next breath for granted? Now, you that say today and tomorrow will do such thing. I visualize what I'm going to do. It's going to happen. I believe in myself. I'm reading a book, Cop Under Fire, Sheriff David Clark. How many of you know who that is? From Wisconsin. And he's talking about how, you know, you got these guys and you take them and you put them in the prison and then you teach them self-confidence. That's what got them in here in the first place, man. They were confident they could rob that bank and confident they could kill that guy and get by with it. You know, it's not about self-confidence. If you've been taught that, you've been taught lies. And most of us were taught that.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to have confidence in?
God.
That's right. It's not me, it's Christ in me.
Amen.
And we've been taught this bill of goods. Just believe in yourself. Okay. What's that? I remember, he's a good guy, but what's the guy, one of you fellows, Clemson's coach, Clemson football coach?
Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, real good guy. Some of you might recognize him from the viral video where he says, you know, pick on me, I'm 40.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
I'm a man, I'm 40. It really is a real good guy. But they won the national championship and everything. And again, it was like the Dave Collins thing. And they're like, what do you attribute this win to? And he's like, because all of our guys love each other.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a sappy mess. I mean, that's not how you win football games. You should love one another. That's not going to win championships. And sadly, nice guy, but that was a total lie. You know why they won? Hard work, focus, and performance. That's what Jim Tressel did when he came to Ohio State, and until he got some bad apples in the bushel, you know, he was producing solid football teams that we hadn't seen under the previous coach. Why? Because he taught people you had to work hard, you had to focus, and then you had to perform. And if you did those, you win. Yeah.
I know Jason, my brother Jason, he works with them. But, get back to what you think. But Tressel, he started singing the alma mater with the guys, and I'm not sure about praying, but.
That still didn't win football games. What won football games was they worked hard, they focused, Jessica, focus, and they performed. You know, that's as a Christian, you got to study to show thyself a workman. You got to work hard. You have to focus. Satan wants to get your mind off everything. Jenny and I, we were talking tonight, I was telling her about how, you know, I believe you see it in everybody. God has put it in our hearts to be preachers.
Yeah.
And if you pick the right topic with everybody, anybody in this room, you pick the right topic and you'll get a preacher. Sad thing is how few of them do what God made you to preach. God didn't make you to be a preacher so you try to make everybody quit smoking. That's great. Everybody should quit smoking. But that's not why God put you here. God put you here to preach the gospel. And you'll see people all either get off the gospel, consumed with this thing that's all they ever talk about, all everything about, and they're preachers of that. And they say ex-smokers are the worst. But it can be somebody who is a drunk. And they're going to be hardcore teetotaler, and that's all they're going. And they go to churches where that's a preacher. It's an easy, you know, it's an easy spike. You can go to fundamentalist churches and preach against the bottle, and everybody's like, amen, yeah, you know, and they get distracted. God didn't send us here to preach against the bottle, against smoking, against all these other things. Of course, as we go through the Bible, He hits on things, and we teach it. But that's in house. That's inside the walls of the church as a body. When I go out on the street, if I talk somebody into not drinking anymore or not smoking anymore, they'll still split hell wide open and burn forever. What good did I do convincing them to stop smoking and drinking or cussing or whatever your hang-up is? They need to be saved. And that's what happens to Christians. The world does it too. But Christians are always being taken off of the focal point. I've seen it happen with the King James issue. I mean, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I think all the new versions are garbage. And I think a lot of King James only preachers are wasting their time constantly talking about that issue. Yes, it should be talked about. There's times for it. There's a place for it. But that's not the focus. If anything takes your focus off of Jesus Christ and the gospel, it's become an idol. It's definitely become an obstacle. It's definitely something Satan's using. He'll use good things. He don't care what it is. He'd use your kids. I know a lot of people who don't serve the Lord and don't do anything for the Lord because they've always got something going on with the kids. Hey, you should make your kids a priority. But man, I know some of these parents, all they do is travel with the teams. Travel with the soccer team and this team and that team and everything. And from the time their kid gets old enough to play that until he flies the coop, you don't see him. So that's a great thing, but Satan's used it to get them on the shelf. It all comes back to having the right attitude and not being distracted from what God has called you to do. And one way you get distracted is by being arrogant. And thinking that your plans are what matters. It's not about you and your plans. That's right. Somebody said one time, you want to make God laugh? Tell Him your plans. I love that. This is the proper attitude in verse 15. Read that with me. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Took me a while to break my wife in, but I'd constantly say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Because she, as a city slicker up in Cleveland, they didn't have creeks. How many of you lived anywhere near a creek growing up? That creek rises, your plans get changed. It's like that train we ran into out in Plain City. A train just kind of creeps up. They think, ding, 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 ding. Just whenever we get there, it's going, I mean, not even 5 mile an hour. And it goes just enough to cut across and stops. We're just sitting there and like, what do people do when this happens? You just kind of go around, but then if you go down the next road, it's that long and it's blocking that road too. And so we had to end up going all the way. I don't know where we ended up going to get around it, but eventually we made our way around. Well, that's bad, but a creek rising. So when you hear a southerner, especially someone down in the hills like where Mark Bass is from, someone says, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. They're not joking. That could be serious business. Yeah. Now, I don't know that I made this up, but I hadn't heard anybody say it before. I've been saying it for years now. But now it is, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Because if the church rises, all plans are off. Yeah, Jenny?
I heard the creek's actually the Indians, like an Indian group, not actually the water.
There's a tribe called the Creek.
Yeah, there is.
It's also a
body of water.
Well, my mom was raised, she lived in the hills, and it had to do with the water, not the Indians.
My favorite is called Peepee Creek, by the way. It's down in Pike County.
Yep.
Real thing.
My grandfather.
Lord willing, and the Peepee Creek don't rise.
Don't ask.
Mark?
Yeah, since you probably got stopped by CSX, I always remember one thing. It stands for caution, stationary exhibit.
Yeah, it didn't have CSX on it. I can't remember that. But that's a train. No one else in the room got that. But if anybody's watching and they are a train watcher like Mark, you let us know. So Dan, if Dan's watching, he'll get it. So the point is, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We have free will. Amen?
Amen.
We do not have free reign.
Amen.
See? You have free will, but God is in charge.
Amen. That's right.
It's like sometimes people say, well, God will make somebody do this and make somebody do that. Yeah, just like, we'll just use Charlie as an example down there with Ezra. I'm sure there's times where Charlie has made Ezra do something that Ezra didn't want to do.
A lot of screaming.
Yeah, which reminds me of some Christians I know. But is Charlie taking away Ezra's free will? No, he's still got free will, but Daddy's bigger. Yeah. And so when Daddy's free will matters too. That's the same way it is with God. God has his will and you have yours, and when God wants his will done, you lose. Our argument against the anti-free willers are the ones who try to say that God has just decided to save a certain number of chosen and the rest can go to hell. Well, we were reading today, Jenny. What was we reading?
We're in Isaiah.
I'm trying to think of the chapters we read today. And he talks about how that God doesn't call Jacob to repent in vain. What's that mean? He calls them to do something. It's not in vain. They can do it. And that's how God works. When God says, you, go out, preach the gospel and preach, repent and believe the gospel, you're not calling on people to do something they can't do unless they're one of the chosen.
Isaiah 45:19.
Isaiah 40 what?
45:19.
Read that out loud, real loud.
I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things. So he did not tell them.
He doesn't tell them to seek him in vain. Why? Because he can be found by anybody. If you respond to the witness of creation, the witness of his spirit, the witness of your conscience and your heart, he will be found. And that goes for every single person alive. I want to look at some biblical examples. I can't talk right now. I want to look at some biblical examples of thy will be done. And I want to start with Charlie. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And then I'm going to jump back here to where I didn't get to last time. Jessica, Matthew 26, 41 and 42. And Jim, if you can look up Hebrews 10, 7 to 10. Doug, if you can look up Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Mary, if you can look up Acts 13, 36 to 37. Janie, if you can look up Romans 1, 8 to 10. Jenny Allball, if you can look up Romans 15, 30 to 33. Charlie, if you're there, go ahead and read Matthew 6, 9 through 10.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
And who's speaking there? The words of Jesus, thy will be done. Even the Son of God wanted the will of the Father done. Look again there, Johnny, in Matthew 26, 41 and 42.
I thought I was you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, it was you? Okay, yeah.
You want me to read?
Yeah, read it.
41 to 42.
watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.
Amen. So there's Jesus right before going to the cross. Wants the will of the Father done. Jim, you next. Hebrews 10, 7 to 10.
Then I said, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, and it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
You have to sit down and look at how many times it makes even reference to the will of God and by his will and over. And of course, that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, prophesied in Psalm 47 and 8, Doug. Yeah.
And say, I am low, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart.
That sound familiar, Jim? All right. Mary, Acts 13, 36 and 37. Is that 36 and 37?
By the will of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Romans, of course, that's a reference to the resurrection. And Janie, you're there at Romans 1, 8 through 10.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you.
Even Paul talking about going to visit the Roman Christian is all about his desire to do God's will. And if God would will it, then he would be able to visit in Rome. And then he ends the book in Jenny Alvo, Romans 15, 30 to 33.
Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
See that? It says whether it's Jesus and his ministry, or Paul and his ministry, us and how we should have our attitude when it comes to serving God. It's all about thy will be done. And, you know, that can be difficult sometimes, but Jim, I think you and I were talking about that hindsight. There are times things happen, and it's really difficult, but then later on, you turn around and look back with that 20/20 hindsight vision, and you see how God had his hand in it. And because you, even if you went kicking and screaming, like we were just talking about, you do what God wants you to do, then you get to see later on. And we can see it at the time if we'll let ourselves. But a lot of times I'm up here as guilty as anybody could be of thinking, why? You know. Then when it's all said and done, you look back, you see the fingerprints of God on it. But James is dealing with some folks who have a real attitude adjustment needed. He says in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And again, you think about it when you hear people talking about their accomplishments or their goals, either one. They'll set their goals, or even when it's accomplished, and it's all about me, and it's all about... It's also bad whenever they do something like put out filthy music and filthy movies and then get up there and say, I'd like to thank God. God don't want credit for that garbage. But when you do something that is according to God's will and His word, that's who you should be giving credit to. And don't get the big head. And just because you get by with arrogance for a while doesn't mean a thing. That's really what James is saying here. Is you all think, you know, they say we're going to go to this town and stay a year, do this and that, and it works out that way. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you did it right, or what you did might have been right, but you're not doing it the right way. And so scripture with scripture, men have always falsely taken God's patience for granted. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
God will let you do things the wrong way, because He's trying to deal with you gently. He's trying to give you time to, through His Word, open your eyes and your mind to what's going on. But then sometimes, well, He has to put the smack down on you. Look over to Ecclesiastes. Let's all go over there. Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 8. And verse 11. through 13. Go ahead and read 11 if you're there. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Remember Peter saying that in the last day scoffers will come. And what are they going to say? Oh, you've been saying He's coming back for 2,000 years. Nothing's changed. God's patience and allowing more people the time to repent and be saved. And it's producing in the hearts of these evil people an excuse to continue to reject Him. Think of that. And of course, we see this in any time when liberals change all the laws and they put up with people committing crimes. We're seeing it on the border. You can come in illegally into this country and they do nothing. So what do? By the droves, come in illegally. That's what happens practically in an everyday. And kids are like that. I know some kids who their parents were counters. 1, 2, 2.5. 2 3/4. Now, Johnny, don't make me say that last one. 2.983. They'll do that and do it until they finally give up. And the kid knows they're going to do that, so that's why he's doing what he's doing. It's just human nature. You want your kids to mind when they do something wrong? They know that they do it wrong the first time. They don't get counted off. Now, aren't very many people raising kids in the room right now. Might be somebody out there who would take that advice. Now, once they become teenagers, you can throw it out the window. No, the kids do make a choice. Some kids, when the teenagers, choose to abide by their upbringing, but they can rebel, and that happens. But you're not responsible for that. You're responsible for providing them that kind of upbringing. And you're supposed to be doing it in basically mimicking God. That's how God deals with you. So you deal with your kids like God deals with you. So verse 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. It looks to me like people like George Soros, Bill Gates, and all these wicked people in the news media, and all the wicked actors and rock singers. I mean, look at the Rolling Stones. They're like 150 years old, been fornicating for a century. You know? And that seems crazy to us. But you know what? When we're in eternity, You're not going to look back and say, boy, they got by with that for a long time.
Nope.
100 years ain't a long time.
Right.
So we may think God's a little too patient, but to God, you know, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Now, having seen God's word on the matter, back to James 4:17, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, verse 16, all such rejoicing is evil. Now read verse 17 with me. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Of course, this is true any time we neglect the truth of God's word. But in the context here, he's saying, now you know now you shouldn't be taking anything for granted. You should be calling on the Lord's will. You should be desiring the Lord's will. You should be making your plans according to God's word and by his leading, but even then saying, if the Lord wills. You should be humbling yourself and not be arrogant in your plans and everything like that. But ignorance is no excuse. If this is the first time someone heard that, it's important to understand ignorance is no excuse. But God.
Praise God for what he butts in.
In his grace, he does make some allowance. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, come on, everybody in this room, I know you've done something that you shouldn't have done.
Amen.
You weren't even conscious of it. You just did it. You weren't thinking. God didn't kill you, did he? You're still here.
Yeah.
Amen. Look over Acts 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 17. I think we looked this up Sunday school. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Paul's addressing a bunch of pagans who are worshiping an unknown God and such and this and that. And in verse 30, read that with me. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So God has been patient with mankind in general, and he's been patient with everyone. I'm sure in this room we could all tell our stories. It's also mercy. Before you're saved, it's really mercy. God is most merciful. There's nobody on the planet who can demonstrate the mercy of God the way God does. And you can turn there real quick if you want with me in Lamentations. I just had to read this. We talked about Jeremiah and all that he's gone through. And then after the overthrow of Israel, he wrote this short book of Lamentations. And chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Read verse 22 with me. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Read 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where we get the words to the hymn. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that a good verse, good passage for today? I mean, how many times are we talking about it? And we're all saying, oh, can't wait for the Lord to come back. Well, wait for the salvation of the Lord. But God's mercy does not tolerate willful disobedience. And so that's why it says in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's why this verse is important to recall when explaining the gospel to the lost. I don't know if you thought about it, but you need the old saying is you have to get them lost before you can get them saved. And they need to understand it. They just sin one time. The reality is they have a sin nature. And as soon as they become aware and conscious, they begin sinning. But you do need to get them to be confronted with that fact of their sin. You urge the lost to size up against God's law. That's why Galatians 3:24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." I had somebody, I love when you get some of these questions, someone walked up and said, "Why do I need to be saved?" Oh, wow. It's like, T-ball, you know. Well, because you're a sinner. And then how do you explain that they're a sinner? You go to God's law. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you ever worshipped another god or put yourself or any other person or thing above God, then you've done it." The second one, "Thou shalt not make any graven image, bow down to them or serve them." Now, of course, a lot of people really actually do that. They pray to statues and images, Mary and the saints. They worship the Pope. Most Americans are caught up in worshiping the stars. I know people who have rejected the word of Jesus Christ and in place of that accepted the word of Oprah. A lot of Christians have rejected the words of Moses for the words of Darwin. And a lot of people have rejected the biblical teaching on morality and accepted that of the new morality and the new age and such. The third, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." His last name isn't damn. Amen? But anyone who's ever used God's word as a swear word, it can be in frustration. It can be in any way disrespectful. There are Christians who use the name of Jesus in a disrespectful way. Well, there you go. You've done it. And I want to just throw this in there. If you're going through the Ten Commandments, instead of misapplying the Sabbath or being derailed and explaining the New Testament principle or dispensations, just go to the next one. I've had some people say, "How do I explain the Sabbath?" You're talking to a lost person. You don't want to get in a debate over the Sabbath. Use some wisdom. But the fifth one, "Honor thy mother and thy father." Well, most people I know have shown some disrespect, been disobedient. Some have even cursed their parents. "I hate you!" You know, that kind of thing. Stealing from their parents, anything like that. "Thou shalt not kill." Oh, well, that's one. I've never murdered anybody. Well, there's murder and abortion. There's also just what we say just, but God takes very seriously the hate of a brother or sister. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer," 1 John 3:15. Then there's number 7, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." "Well, I'm still a virgin." Well, okay, that's great. But you ever had sex outside of marriage? You're a virgin? Okay. Lusted after someone you're not married to? I'm glad if you haven't, you haven't. That's great. But you know what? You get up into this area. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And you get up into this area, like I said, that you're going to hit somebody somewhere. Number 8, "Thou shalt not steal." You ever cheated on a test? You ever walked out of a store with too much change? I mean, on and on it could go. Take anything not belonging to you. How about number 9? "Thou shalt not bear false witness." You ever say anything about another person that was not true? You ever told a lie? You just bear false witness? Just say something isn't true? Number 10, "Thou shalt not covet." You ever want something that doesn't belong to you and then you set about to get it? So, among those commandments, most people, if they're honest, they have to face the fact that you violated at least one once.
Yeah.
And that brings you to verse 17. "Therefore to him that doeth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?"
Sin.
All have sinned, only Jesus accepted.
Yep.
Jesus is the only sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The only sinless one was God in flesh, Jesus. And he then took our sin on himself on the cross, shed his blood, and paid the full price for our sin. The infinite God making an infinite payment for the sins of the world. He buried him and he rose again. After 3 days, he put on a show, conquering sin and death, proving that he had conquered the death penalty for us all. And by faith in that gospel, having repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Amen?
Amen.
We can never be saved if we don't acknowledge that sin. But then even after we're saved, we should still hate sin. We should still, despite... Didn't we read that again today as well? God said that the saints should hate evil in today's reading. And I don't think a lot of Christians really do. And I think that explains a lot of what's going on in Christianity today, but also can explain a lot going on in their lives. Amen. We'll pick up there next time. And we'll close with an a cappella song. We haven't sung for at least a few weeks. If you can stand. Taken from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. All right, onliners, get your prayer cards in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Everyone in the house, say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air.
Good night, everybody.
Bye, onliners. Take care.